Well, we'll continue to keep you in our prayers, Megan. We love you so much. We want to keep Robert right in our prayers. He's not here this morning, which is rare when Robert's not here, but was with him yesterday morning. He didn't look good, and he sounded terrible last night when he called, and this morning he just having some heart-related issues, stress and other things, so just keep Robert in our prayers. Yes, ma'am. Chair? Did you read? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to keep Joe and Elaine small in prayer because they both have COVID. They're neighbors of mine in Raleigh. He is on a ventilator now, and they have given the family the sense everything is starting to shut down. His wife is attending the piece in the hospital.
So let's keep Joe and Elaine small, and he's on a ventilator, and keep them on our prayers. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to give thanks for a successful bypass surgery for my cousin John, who is just fighting the ravages of diabetes with his heart and his kidneys. But the surgery was triple bypass, very successful, and we're just praying that we go forward from there.
And his name is John?
I'm sorry. David.
Okay, so David is, okay.
David, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay, I just want to make sure I had not made a mistake.
Yeah, his brother.
Okay, so, well, we praise God for David's good recovery and keep praying that way. We're grateful that your husband, David, made it back from wherever he went. We really appreciate those of you who stay with your constituents in the cold weather. How'd you enjoy Florida, buddy? It was great. Oh, we're glad you're back. Any other? Yes, ma'am. Where does Brenda's father live?
Right now he's living with them
in Hollywood. Okay. We'll certainly do that. Yes, ma'am.
The family of Mark Price, they're having a hard time with a lot of financial things. And two restaurants are very floundering and they just need prayer.
Ooh. Any others? Yes, sir.
We've been praying for Carrie and Andrew. If we could continue to keep her in prayer. Her latest update did not get better, it got worse. They found there were 20 tumors in her liver and her spleen. And by the grace of God, they somehow got into, I think they call it clinicals, like something new that she could try to see if it works up in Maryland. So they're going to be moving up to Maryland and met for a few months while she's doing these. If we could just pray that maybe that helps. Because I think that's the end, if that doesn't help.
We'll do that. And so you'll know, about midway down, I've had a couple of people ask me, we sometimes put the prayer request out for Andy. It's also Andrea McDaniel, so same individual, Andrea or Andy. Any others? Yes, ma'am.
I just
have
one more word.
Could
we pray through the
vet
and her loss of the sequence for the last month or so?
Let's keep the vet in our prayers. She had a tough time losing two sisters, but as you probably read in the bulletin, there's a rose on the altar this morning because she had a new great-grandson who's healthy. So let's keep the vet and David in our prayers. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we begin this Lenten journey together, Lord, we thank you that as we, through the structure of the liturgical year, will seek to walk along our Savior, how grateful we are that our Savior walks along with us, yea, carries us through those difficult journeys of life. We thank you that your identification with us was not simply as a rescuer who comes from a above and saves us, but you truly became one of us. We thank you that you fully identified in your love, bridging that eternal gap between human and divine. And we thank you that in you we find not only our salvation, but we find our perfect picture of living in this fallen world. We find in you the way in which we are to proceed through life and in eternity. We pray that the Spirit that led your Son will lead us, will strengthen us, will encircle us with protection and encouragement, reminding us to lift up our heads, for truly our redemption draws near. We pray that as our Savior often approached his Father in prayer for need, so we come to you in the same way, in the same name, asking that your blessing would be upon all of those items that concern us. Will you also receive with gratitude all of those items that we rejoice in? We're grateful for the birth of Yvette's grandson, a great-grandson. We rejoice with the family. We're grateful for good words from David's heart surgery. We're grateful for good improvement and change with Agnes. I pray that that will continue. We also would ask that you would be with those that are having difficulties with Christine and with Andy, with Robert, with Brenda and her father, with Yvette. As she's celebrating new life, she's also grieving the loss of her two sisters, and we know life is a combination of both. Be with her as she cries, and be with her as she laughs, and we thank you for your presence. We pray that you would be with Margaret as she's having surgery on Tuesday. We pray that that will go well. We thank you even now for a good outcome. We pray that you would be with Joe and Elaine Small as they're battling with COVID, and we just pray that you'll be with the family as Joe's passing seems to be drawing close. We thank you for their faith. The faith that holds them tightly in life will guide them just as tightly and securely into eternal life. We pray that you'll bless them, be with those that surround them with love, uphold them. We pray that you would be with the Price family and their recent loss, and we pray that you'll continue to guide and direct. May they turn to you and you alone for their comfort and strength. May you draw them close during this time. We thank you for our church. We thank you for an opportunity and the freedom of this wonderful country to gather and to worship you publicly. And we pray that you would also be with the meeting of the day, that your Spirit will lead us in ways that we can be led to be even more effective and efficient in proclaiming the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And it's in that precious name we ask these prayers. Amen. You'll look with me to the beginning of the bulletin. Front of the bulletin, we gather as only we can. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing Spirit.
Amen. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look with me to the insert, the scripture insert, we will use the first 10 verses of Psalm 25 to call each to worship. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth, but my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Gracious and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides the humble and the upright. He teaches his way to the Lord.
All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
For your name's sake, O Lord, forgive my sin, for it is great.
Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place and the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown them, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our gracious God, we have heard and meditated upon two songs this morning, two hymns with different words, but only one message. For the only love we know is that we find in Jesus Christ, and the more we turn our eyes upon Him, the more the world will see love in us. Forgive us, we ask our Father, for those times when our eyes and our focus have been diverted, when we've taken our eyes off the simple message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified to all the cares of this world that tend to cause us to worry, all the frustrations and trials, all of the circumstances, all of the situations that seem to be chaotic beyond the point of redemption. But may we be reminded of this simple message of love, that it was while we were yet sinners that Christ came and redeemed. It is in the midst of darkness that light shines forth. And it's in the midst of hatred and anger that the simple message of redeeming love saves us who believe. Thank you for the love you've shown to us in Christ. Thank you for the love that we share with one another. May we share that love with all to your glory. We thank you that in your love, you became one of us, so that through Him, we can become your children. And as your children, we're so grateful to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The second reading today is from James. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation, such a one who stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. But do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In the fulfillment of His own purpose, He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The word of the Lord.
Oh. We have domestic tests. We have employment tests.
In fact, we can even be tested in churches. We find ourselves surrounded by tests all the time. In each one of our readings this morning, and thank you, Judy, for reading very long passages very well, we find major tests. We see Abraham tested by God in being willing to offer up his only son. We see Jesus being tested by Satan. And we see in James, this passage that applies to us all, that clearly states that while God will never tempt us, God does lead us into test after test after test. It's been said before, and it's true, that everyone is in some relationship to a test. You are either going through a test right now, you just went through a test, or you're on the verge of one coming up. We're all in that. And while we do that, if we're honest, our first recourse, sometimes when we're tested, is to blame. We blame. We have a good legacy here. Our forefather, Adam, when he had a test that he failed, and he was called on the carpet by his maker to ask about that. Do you remember what our forefather had the audacity to say to God Almighty? It's your fault. If you hadn't given me this woman, I wouldn't have done this. Can you believe that Adam would have the audacity to look at God the Father and blame him for his troubles? No, because if we're honest, guess what we do? We go through trials, we go through tests, and while we might not come out and directly blame God, we sometimes think, well, you know, I thought God loved me more than this. I thought God would be more present. I thought maybe God would have shown up a little quicker. If we don't blame God, sometimes we blame Satan. That's just as foolish, probably a little bit more audacious, because while God is omnipresent and could address each person and does individually, Satan is not omnipresent. As we read in scriptures, Satan might not really know much about any of us. Satan is not omnipresent. I don't care what Flip Wilson or Geraldine said, the devil didn't make you do it. We blame others, don't we? We blame circumstances. If I had had a better background, if I had had a better home life, if the media, if those bosses I had, if those co-workers, if I had had better family, and the mother of all excuses, and I think it's why I've had such an unfun year, because I hate excuses, the mother of all excuses were offered to us this past year through this thing called COVID. We can blame everything on COVID. And whether it's the production, everything, it's all COVID related, and we have this easy excuse to blame. Now, before I start going down a trail that would be more my opinions than a sermon, let me back up and say, I do understand that there are real issues. We're not diminishing that. Tests do have teeth, and life can be tough. We're not diminishing the tests of life. But what we need to understand from the scripture is that the tests of life are given by God not to break us, but to establish us. As the small catechism teaches us, that the tests of God are given to us through his loving hand so that our faith would become more dependent upon him. Brings us closer to him. In fact, we follow the life of Jesus Christ. And it's a process, and we're going to see it, and I've alliterated it, but we're going to see it more in the life of Jesus Christ. And the first thing in this process of learning how to take and deal with tests is we need to realize that life is hard. Life is hard. Job said, life is short and full of trouble. About 6,000 years later, Len Anderson sang with far more beauty that I never promised you a rose garden. Life is tough. This is a sin-torn world. Now let me quickly say, that does not mean that your problems or any other problems are because of a particular sin. God doesn't set up like a gigantic cop meeting out punishments for individual sins. We know that when Jesus' disciples said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's blind?" If you get sick, that's not necessarily because God is punishing you for a particular sin. If God punished with health issues sinners, we'd all be in the hospital. But on the other hand, it's true to say that the reason why this world is so askew is because of the radical shift that happened when we fell into sin. And as we read in Romans 8, even nature groans. So we are born into a hard world, and we just need to realize that we need to quit wishing it was a different way, and we need to, like Jesus Christ, walk with Him and take this world the way it is. You know, several years ago, well, a couple times actually through my pastoral career, I've been a part of front teams or support teams that would help prepare a city or a community for a coming preacher or singer or religious person to prep them for the visit and to make sure that whatever their needs or desires would be, we would take care of. We would try to anticipate. Billy Graham, before his crusades, would send him his support team, his front team, to sort of set everything up. Did some research this past week of some of the interesting things. I think she's a singer, Mariah Carey. She requires that people go into the places that she's going to stay before a concert and replace all the faucets with gold faucets and put brand new toilet seats on all the toilets. Barbara Streisand, she demanded that when she would stay places, there would be rose petals on the bed and peach-colored towels. I came across one where LBJ, traveling in Germany, demanded that the shower heads be changed. I remember being taught or being instructed, as one famous person was coming into our town, that he only wanted Gatorade, and I think it was the orange type, and we need to have it with certain fruit. I forget what it was. But isn't it interesting that the celebrities of our day, the politicians of our day, and even ourselves may have this thinking of what we're entitled to before we came? But isn't it interesting, the center of our faith, he came and he didn't even have a place to lay his head. He came, and no one went before to make sure he had rose petals. He came without any demands that there be particular way of life. He came to this world as it is. And so, too, we need to realize that life is hard, and we need to come as it is. The second thing, following Jesus Christ, not only do we realize that life is hard, we recognize that we don't get a bye. We recognize coming in that we're not going to be exempt from the trials of life. I would think if I was Abraham in the text that we heard today, and he made that type of demand on me, you may be disappointed to hear me say this, but if God required that of me, I probably would do a little negotiating or try to do a little negotiating with the Lord. Okay, Lord, if you want me to sacrifice my only child, here's some things I want. I hate to admit that, but that's sort of the way, you know, if somebody's going to make unusual demands of me, I'm going to think, well, there's got to be some exemption here. There's going to be some, but what are we told that Abraham did. We're told he rose early. He promptly went, no delay. See, like our Savior, we don't get a bye from the difficulties of life. There's no white horse that's going to come and rescue us from. We're told in Psalm 23, it's not from or above or around the valley of the shadow of death that we must walk. It is through the valley of the shadow of death. We can't run from, we can't deny, we can't seek to avoid, because it's through that we learn dependence. Carrie Griffin posted something that I saw this morning that I thought really was good for this sermon, so I appreciate it, Carrie. She posted, God doesn't give us what we can handle. God helped us handle what we were given. See, that's what we need to understand. Not only to realize that life is hard, but we need to recognize that we're not going to get a bye, because if we got a bye through all the difficulties of life, we would be babies. And God wants us to grow up in the faith. God wants us to mature. God wants us to come to the place where our dependency is not because I've been able to avoid all difficulties. My dependency is because I can look back and see He has taken me through things I never thought I could go through. Because that will give me the faith to go through the next testing that comes up. But we aren't to just flow through these tests, so that third thing that we need to do following our Savior is not only realize that life is tough and recognize that we don't get a bye, we need to also resist the ploys of Satan. See, it's hard enough living life if we didn't have to deal with the evil one and all these evil thoughts that we have, isn't it? Don't you find, and I found it this morning, have you found that when you are running late for something, all the stoplights work against you? And it's not coincidental. They're doing that at the city offices. They know. And don't you know that that clerk woke up with no purpose other than to ruin your day by cursorily? We think that way. I think that way. And we need to understand that it's not coincidental that when we're going through the test of life, the Satan and all his demonic crew are intending to use that as an opportunity where we will slip from following Christ and to sort of knock into a more human and sinful way of coping. Because if we go back to the first testing in the garden, not only did Adam blame, but before he blamed, what was the first thing that Adam did, Adam and Eve did, after they sinfully acted? They acted again. Not in sinfulness, but stupidity. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. They acted again. And we do that if we're not careful. If we're going through difficult trials, we won't resist this natural way of thinking. And we start thinking, well, I'll just get even. Or I'll just toughen up and show them. Or if they think they've got some good news, wait till I unload what I know about them. And we can give in to these temptations of Satan. Temptations that Jesus followed. You don't have to go that way. Just fall down. I'll give you the world. And we need to resist the ploys of Satan the same way Jesus did. And that is through the Word. He read the Word, and he thought the Word, and he spoke the Word. And every time, his rejoinder to these wrong temptations was the Word. In the King James Version, there's only one place where the word success is mentioned. I don't know about modern translations, but in the King James Version, there's only one place that the word success is used. And it's in the promise given to Joshua as he's given a big test. Joshua, who was relatively young, is told, I want you to do what Moses, the father of us all, couldn't do. He wandered around for 40 years. Now, you've got about a month. I want you to do what he couldn't do. And along the way, Joshua is told, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous in this midst of the trial. And in that context where we hear the word success, and it's in Joshua 1:8. And we're told the book of the law, and it's interesting what it says. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's interesting. You would think it would say, read the scripture. But that's not what it says, even in the Hebrew. What it says is, the word of the Lord needs to be that which you're speaking. Not just what you're thinking. Not just what you're reading. But you need to use your mouth in accordance to the teaching of Scripture. You need to meditate on it. And if you do this, then your way will be prosperous and you will have good success. And then finally, if we realize life is tough and recognize we don't get a buy and resist the ploys of Satan, then the fourth thing following our Lord, we rest in His promise. We rest in His promise. We read in the Hebrew Scripture that there are two impulses in Hebraic thought. There's a yetzer hara, which is an evil. I'll just say it's evil. And then there's a yetzer hatov, which is good. Martin Luther, in typical more earthly way, said that in all of us there are two dogs. You've probably heard this analogy. There are two dogs in your thinking. There are two dogs in your soul. There's a good dog and an evil dog. And he was asked, and you know the answer, which dog wins the fight? Which dog wins the fight? The one you feed the most. The one you feed the most. And that's what we need to do. Rest in this promise that we need to cling. This is why we were saying, and I said, prayed earlier, that the song to let the world know that we are Christians by the love we have for one another will only come about when we turn our eyes unto Jesus. Because if I'm looking at you, I'm not going to love you. And if you're looking at me, I know you're not going to love me because I've got a lot of unlovable parts. But if we turn our eyes to Jesus and we let that verse that's so crucial that confesses that there's one mediator between us and God and between us and one another. The Quakers have a saying, the Society of Friends, they say that the Christ in me meets and greets the Christ in thee. I don't know what good idea is, and I know there'll be a lot of good practical ideas that'll come out of our meetings and discussions about how to make our church more evangelistic and more reach out. But you know, it's going to all come down to, do people see in us individuals that uphold Jesus Christ and treat each other like Christians? Treat each other with the love of Christ. Encourage one another. If we do that, like we read in the James passage, we're going to see the light of God shine in and through us. I want to close with the complete version of a prayer you know quite well. We all know the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, but I want to close our sermon time using the full version that he wrote. So would you join with me in prayer? God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, the courage to change the things that should be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as we would like it to be,
trusting that you will make all things right
as we surrender to your will, so that we may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated.
Just join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Praise and thanksgiving belong to you, God of every blessing, for you shaped all creation to grow into your abundant and eternal harvest. You called the people to share life with you, and when they were captive in Egypt, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, you brought them out of oppression, through the temptations of the wilderness, into a land flowing with milk and honey. In time, your Son came among us, facing wilderness and temptation and hunger, to bring us out of bondage to sin, and to taste and see that you, the Lord, are good. And so we thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
God of mercy, you gave your people manna day by day during their times of testing. And because no one can live by bread alone, you gave Jesus to be our bread from heaven. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church to live as a sign of the way you transformed this manna into mercy for all. With your Spirit, bless this bread and this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took the bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Faithful God, whose Son did not escape suffering and death, but accepted and finally overcame them, bring your disciples by the way of his cross to the joy of Easter. Strengthen your church to resist evil of every kind and turn from sin. With your mighty hand and outstretched arm, uphold those enduring trials and any who know their very life is at stake. Be with your children who are heavy laden and all who labor beneath the misuse of power by another. Amid temptations to be successful, shape your children first to be faithful to your kingdom. Until the day when in your resurrected glory there is one life, one sharing, one holy communion among all saints, with you to whom all glory belongs forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the
the midst and difficulties of testings, one of the things that often make it more difficult, like the five foolish virgins, is testing really shows whether we're prepared or not, doesn't it? We pray fervently before a test in school that we'll do well, but if we're not prepared, we may see the result of our lived prayer more than we do our spoken prayer. Testing is all about preparation. Isn't it interesting that we come praising His holy name, that the preparation we need, He has accomplished. In Psalm 23, we're promised that He will prepare a table for us. In John 14, we're promised that He will go ahead and prepare a place for us for heaven at the end of our earthly sojourn and testing. And in between, we do this in remembrance of Him, taking Him as not only the promisor, but the promised one. He is the host that invites us, but the host that gives us Himself. Prepared for you. The very body of Christ, the bread of heaven, take you. A body was prepared for Him. A body like your body, like all human bodies. That issued forth in the life found in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. The remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. We thank You, our Father, for the gift of Your Son and His perfect obedience. We thank You for His being the way for us. He is the one who tested. He is the one who, through His perfect obedience, actively and passively, did that for us which we could not do for ourselves. Not only our eternal salvation, but that in our holiness and living of life. For truly Jesus Christ and Him crucified is our only hope. We rest in Your good word. We follow through the gift of Your precious Spirit. And we uphold the glory of Your name alone. And in that name we pray. Amen.
Lord, the light. world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.
For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," He has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ.
He is the radiance of His glory, the exact expression of His nature, and He sustains all things by His powerful word.
In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
The Lord will shine over you, and His glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your radiance.
Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to live, love, and serve the Lord. Amen.